in Sydney is for sport.
This is one of the great victories.
Look at it,
the Australian Grand Prix.
Yannick Sinner, the Australian Open.
And Australia win the World Cup.
Driving your kids to the Oval, lacing up for the over 35s, or doing the form. However you're spending it, this decades-long institution is back in 2024 to soundtrack it. Racing royalty, Richard Friedman.
Hey, he's a pretty good guy.
Professional dribbler, Brendan Anakin.
Just need a rugby gym.
Makes you want to scream.
Another screamer.
Listen to this crowd.
And a rotating cast of some of this country's finest athletes. If it's happening in sport, it'll be dissected here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
One of those fine athletes is Candace Warner. She joins us this morning. Hasn't left, really.
No. I love the way you refer to the show as you've got a revolving chair.
Well, we had to.
But no, it just keeps spinning around, like keep coming back.
Yeah.
We spin it around hoping that there'll be someone else in the chair, but no.
You don't mean that, Richard.
I know.
We actually love having you here.
I know.
I hate to admit that.
This might not surprise you. I've muffed up pretty early in the year.
You've what? Sorry?
I've stuffed up.
Pretty. You just said muffed up.
Muffed up. Yes. Yeah, it's interchangeable.
Take it any way you like.
Yeah, I've...
I don't really use that word.
Take it the way I want you to take it.
Don't go there.
Listen, I was entered into a tipping competition against my will by Glenn in Baulkham Hills. And a shout out to Glenn. He's having a roll this morning at the Hills Bolo there in Baulkham Hills. He's got us on ka-ching. On the app, on the listener app. No ka-ching. He just had mentioned the Hills Bowler. I was like, no worries, man. So he called me a couple of weeks ago. He entered me into a last person standing sort of
competition. NRL tipping comp.
Yeah. And I was very confident, as you might be able to hear.
Yeah. This one isn't hard to pick for me. I'm going to go. This is my one. The Knights will roll Canberra by a bit.
Right, Alan. No worries. If you win, you're in next week, mate.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm well and true.
That's right.
Very
you're
much
out.
So.
How disappointing.
I know. Glenn was very disappointed in me too because he called me yesterday and said this.
Hey, Brendo.
Oh,
man.
Man,
you're a short tipper.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, wasn't happy.
He's the last one to find out. We already knew this. What about, I bet you tipped the Panthers, of course.
Yes, I did. I know Glenn picked the Storm, so Glenn's still alive.
Well, if you go on form, you know, won the last 21 in a row or something at their first match.
My God, that was a great game too. We'll unpack that very shortly with James Graham from Triple M NRL. It's a massive show. Jude Bolton talking about opening round in the AFL, which is not round one. Thank you very much, Candace Warner.
But talking about big things, your shirt today.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's electric.
Yeah. I think they make them for men too.
Ah, very good. Good stuff.
I don't mind it.
That's good, isn't it?
Because they make them for women.
Yeah. Man, it's all happening. Mike Tyson jumping back in the ring. One of the great dackings.
Yes.
We must get to in the sports update.
One of my compatriot trainers, unfortunately, has been involved in some dacking
incident. How funny is a good dacking?
This one, you
unless
will not,
it happens to you.
You will not believe this one either. Or the ban that it's carried. Wowzers.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the next 20 minutes next, though. James Graham from Triple M NRL. Right.
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is, that's out.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Friedman Anakin.
If your tipping is anything like mine, it is in the toilet for round
one. Yes, we know that. I love that Billy Idol. I loved it when he went to the NRL Grand Final and just did a lap of honour, waved to the crowd.
Just waiting for some power. He never got that power.
That's the most epic entertainment fail.
One of the great fails.
Of all time.
Was it a fail, though? Because we're still talking about it.
Lots of fails for the for the favourites in all the games. The outsiders have won every game of NRL so far in round one. James Graham from Triple M NRL joins us. Before we get into the footy, a big congratulations for picking up second best on ground over in Vegas, apparently, according to Wade Graham. You were thrown in it last week, James.
Well, I'll take coming second in this in this particular case.
You don't want to be the winner.
Competition.
No. Well, yeah, the winner was Fletch. The winner was Fletch, James, so I don't think anyone was beating him, right?
No.
Was that a rousing success? I mean, back here, we were a bit critical of it, and then I saw it and I was wowed. You were there. I think it's going to be a great success for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think it exceeded all expectations in all metrics that I think the NRL would have looked for. What is a successful trip to Vegas? I think it ticked every single box. It was great to be a part of. And honestly, I felt proud to be part of the NRL family, the community. We put on a great show there. And it was great to be amongst so many Australians and English and New Zealand fans just almost taking over Las Vegas.
James, the Sharks launched their season in style with a courageous comeback to down the Warriors last night. Wow, the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah, it was a great victory for the Sharks. Obviously, the Warriors are top four team last year. That's something that the Sharks have struggled to overcome and get victories against those teams towards the top end of the table. So there's no better start to the Sharks. A lot of hype around the Warriors. You know, they finished last season really strong, finishing the top four, like I say, and they've made some really good signings as well. And then the way that game was starting to pan out, the Sharks were under all sorts of pressure early doors. They just managed to stay in the contest. They jagged a try just before half time, and then they came home pretty strong and they had to defend for their lives. And it was a huge victory for the Sharks over across in New Zealand to kick off the season.
The Warriors just lost their rhythm, James. I thought they were going to run away with it, like with a cricket score. Real issues too, because I think an unsung hero for that team is Wade Egan, and he could be out for an extended period.
Yeah, he came off with an elbow injury, and it looked like an old injury. He was heavily strapped to start the game anyway. You could see when he was off the field just the difference in the Warriors' attack. So I thought he was off for probably a little bit too long, but then he came back on. He was on for a minute, and their attack really sharpened up. And then, unfortunately, that elbow injury reared its head. So hopefully for Warriors fans, he's not out for too long because he's so important to that football team.
There were so many things to like about the Storm Panthers match last night. You know, Storm with the incredible first up record, and Panthers coming off the back of another premiership, and you know, there was so much anticipation. I don't think it let us down. I know there were a few handling errors in that, but geez, I enjoyed the match, even though there weren't too many tries and there wasn't much scoring.
No, but both teams defended really well, and Melbourne came with a game plan to go after and frustrate Nathan Cleary, obviously arguably the best player in the game. And they did that really well. Thought Penrith were, probably just not quite at their best, a little bit out of sync. They were missing a few players. Mitch Kenny, he'll be back next week, I think. I think he was an important out. But it was a great start for round one. Two teams that'll be vying for the top four, two premiership heavyweights. So it was great to see them go after each other. Some of the collisions were absolutely ferocious. So yeah, there'd be some sore bodies this morning. Obviously, sure, Penrith off the back of a long trip to the UK to play the World Cup Challenge. But Melbourne, the round one streak continues. It's way over 20 years now since they've lost a round one game. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. It's no coincidence, because I think that's a sign of the hard work that they put in the pre-season.
Just on that point about the timing issues in the Panthers side, they were hammering Storm's line for so much of that match. What were a couple of key things that were missing, why they couldn't get over the stripe?
To be honest, I think it came down to Melbourne Storm's desperation in defence. It was reads from Xavier Coates on the edge where the Panthers looked for all money, like they were going to get over the line, but then he just came up with some fantastic reads and shut down some plays. And then the scramble and the attitude of Melbourne, it looked like the Melbourne that we're used to. I thought towards the back end of last year, Melbourne, they didn't look like the Melbourne Storm of old, but certainly last night you could see defensively that was the Melbourne that we've come to know over the past couple of decades. There were certain traits in there, how they were really a focus on defence. That's the Melbourne that we know, and they've
I'm not too worried. This is how we started last year. Lost the World Club Challenge, lost the tight one. I would have liked to have scored a point. That would have been nice, but well done, Melbourne. Yeah. Absolutely.
They were too good.
Staunch defence. Well done, James. We will no doubt hear you throughout the weekend with Triple M NRL. Go well, my friend.
All right. Cheers, guys. Take it easy.
They get all the big names in sport.
Big names.
And Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin too. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Roosters prop Spencer Leniu has pled guilty to using a racist slur against Ezra Mam during last weekend's NRL season opener in Vegas. He's facing a potential fine and a very lengthy stint on the sidelines. They're saying between 6 and 8 weeks. It could have been mitigated somewhat because he has pled guilty before the trial, but not something you want to see in the game.
He could have shown more contrition a little earlier, I thought. I think tactically, I think that was a mistake, because if a moment on the field he knew that other players had heard what he had said, then he was always going to lose. So you're better off going the mea culpa straight away and saying, it was disgraceful, I'm ashamed of myself, should never have happened, I'll never say that again. Said that straight off, and I think they would have been more lenient on him. But I don't think they're going to be very lenient.
No, yes.
Do you think he might need some education? Because when he had that original interview after the game, he's like, oh, it's all just fun and games. It was around those lines. It was all just fun and games. Yeah. What stays on the field, you know, stays on the field, stays on the field. So clearly, straight after the game, he knew he had said something and still didn't think there was anything wrong with what he said. So I think maybe there needs to be some education for him.
Yeah, fair. That's a fair call.
Horrible way to start your tenure at a club too. That was his first game for the Roosters.
He's a great player.
And he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, he's a great player, but that doesn't excuse what he did.
Absolutely not. Moving on, again, unfortunately, to do with racism, Matilda star Sam Kerr is set to face a trial in London after pleading not guilty to racially abusing a police officer in January last year. It's alleged she called the officer a stupid white bastard or idiot.
Yes, it's not clear, is it? But the white bit was in there, and that is the critical bit because that's the bit where the racism flag gets raised.
It is. Is it to the extent of the Spencer Leniu case, though?
Well, here's my view.
Yeah.
I know that people have varying views on this of whether you know, you can... racism.
Racism's racism.
Well, that's what I say. But Brendan, you have a different view.
Well, is this racism, though?
Tell us how it's not.
Well, for me, that's more of a description than it is racism.
Well, what do you mean it's a description?
Well, the word that Leniu used was very racially charged.
Monkey.
Yes, was the word.
Yes.
That is, you cannot call a person of colour or describe them as an animal. That is racism.
And most particularly a monkey, because that has been used many times before.
This racism is a description.
Yeah, but racism is racism. I don't care if it's the levels of racism, it's racism.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. And with this whole situation, the thing is, this happened in January 30 last year. So not a few months ago.
It's not recent.
Last year. And then during the week when this all broke, Football Australia, the Matildas coach and the players had no idea of this. So she's kept this quiet for a whole year. Now,
that's an issue.
That, to me,
it is
a
if you're the captain
issue.
Too, particularly.
And considering there's an Olympic Games coming up. Now, she probably won't be playing those games because of her ACL injury. Now, if she was fully fit, this is a very different story. So what's going to happen now, it's going to be very interesting to see how Football Australia handle this. They need to, obviously, she's innocent until proven guilty.
Of course.
That's how it works. But Football Australia need to be very careful and smart how they handle this situation.
Yeah, I know there are some people out there who say that it's different if a white person is racially abusing a person of colour. And if it's going, but it's surely got to be equal. Equality is all about what's good for you is also good for you. What's bad for you is also bad for you, no matter what colour you are. So I think you can't just say, oh, racism only goes in one direction. Racism can go in any direction.
This, for me, is more of a description. The greatest crime, I feel, is she was sick in the back of a taxi. That's really annoying. I don't like. And if you sat down in front of a police sketch artist and you said, describe the assailant, they were white, would the police sketch artist go, whoa, do you want to choose another word there, mate?
Well, perhaps they wouldn't, but that still, for mine, doesn't change the principle.
So the context.
The context does not change the principle. It must be equal for both people of colour and white people.
So where to here for Sam Kerr?
Well, they're not stripping her of the captaincy. Mm-hmm. The CEO said that.
Well, yes. See, I would. If proven guilty.
Mm.
If proven guilty, I would strip her of the captaincy because I think it shows a lack of judgment.
Absolutely right, if proven guilty, but I don't think she has a case to answer for. That's what I'm saying.
I beg to differ.
No worries. Let's go down to this. This is fun. This is something we can both agree on, Richard Friedman. How fun this is. A former South Australian trainer has been disqualified for 5 years after dacking a racing compliance officer in front of other participants at Kangaroo Island last month. 5 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You know what? The charge
one
that they...
One of the great dackings.
One of the great dackings.
Well, the charge that they put on him has a maximum of 10 years.
I know, We took circumstances into account.
They took his good, you know,
and he was contrite.
Good behaviour into account. Well, Todd Balfour, Balfours are a huge family of racing people in South Australia. Very famous. But you can't dack a steward. Right? It's 101. You can be angry with them. You can say you disagree with them. They'll cop that. But if you go to, you know, dack them,
yeah,
you're getting time.
Because I think he got undies too.
Which I got
think,
the lot.
I think
was
he got
it
the
cold.
Lot. I think
that
it
could have been
well,
quite
7 o'clock at night. Yeah.
You know,
it's a tough one. Yeah. Got us
every
thinking.
Bloke out there knows exactly what we're
absolutely.
Talking about.
You don't get 5 years and the undies weren't involved. You know what I mean?
And especially, you don't get 5 years if you dack it and you stand there and go, hey. Have a look at this.
We want on 133353 your most memorable dackings. Now you could have been the dacker, the dackie. Like if it happens to you, it is a core memory. Like it sticks with you forever.
Yes.
A good dacking.
Every bloke's been dacked, haven't they?
Absolutely. And I don't want to get your dacking story after this. Right. I've got a dacking story as well. Have you been dacked?
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, maybe
you're
my,
a dacker.
Maybe
aren't you?
My brother's done it. I reckon I've done it. Before to my brother to embarrass him.
Do women
him.
Dack each other? Or is that a purely a male thing?
No, it must be a male thing. But is it a dack if it's just the shorts or does it have to be the Reg Grundies
as well? If you get the Grundies, that's a super dacky.
That's a super dacky. Absolutely
okay.
It is.
We suspect the super dacking was involved.
133353, your best dacking story.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Your best dacking story, you could be a dacker, you could be a dackie. Let's go to Jim in Balgowa. Your best dacking story, Jim.
So there, 42 years ago, we were doing 10-pin bowling. I was 16 years old at the time. And I was ready to, you know, line up. You bring the ball up, 10-pin ball up to your face, ready to line up. Mm-hmm. And then your mate dacked me while I had my ball in my hand.
Yes, amazing. Couldn't drop it. On your foot?
Couldn't drop it.
No. So did you bowl with the pants around the ankles?
No, I dropped the ball and ripped them back up. But I paid it back a couple of years ago.
Was it as Richard describes, a super dacking where everything came away?
No, just a normal dack.
Well, we have to take that into account when awarding the $100 Red Rooster voucher.
There's a super dacking out there we want to know.
That's right.
Glenn in Penrith, what happened with your dacking?
Yeah, with mine, I was working with a mate of mine, a plumber. He was up the ladder fixing something on the gutter, so me being me, dacked him. And then I forgot all about it. A couple of weeks later, I was going in the shops, had two cartons of beer in my hand, and next thing, everything come down. You the name light. It, everything was
amazing.
Showing.
Yeah.
And I was asking people, I said, oh, can you help? And they were pissing this up laughing.
Can you help?
A man carrying two cartons of beer with his pants around his ankles and everything out. Can you help me? No one's going near you.
I like that because there's a double dacking, first of all, and there's a retribution dack involved.
Yes. Do people dack themselves?
Well, weird people.
Well, yeah, but they're on a list.
They get arrested for that.
They're on a list. Janelle in Campbelltown, what happened with your specific dacking?
Oh, hello. So I was we're on a weekend away and I was sitting at the dining room table one morning having my breakfast and I was talking to one of my husband's friends who was standing right in front of me and one of the girls walked up behind him and dacked him and he had no undies on.
Oh. Was that a happy time or a disappointing time?
I was far more embarrassed than he was. He didn't even care.
Can I ask you guys?
Strange thing to have for breakfast, though.
Oh,
isn't it? Yeah.
Put you off your bangers there.
Can I ask you guys, why do men think it's okay to wear tracksuit pants with no undies?
Oh, it's not. That's skid mark galore.
But above that, you can see everything that's going on down there. And I can't stand it.
Really?
Oh, it's such a gross look.
So Dave wears tracky dacks with no undies. That's what you're saying.
At times.
Yeah.
But you can tell when a man doesn't have undies.
If you see Dave in tracky dacks, do not dack him.
No. You know for sure now.
Do not dack him.
I've got to give that to Glenn. Can we agree? The double dacking?
Yeah, double dacking.
The revenge dacking. Yep. Unreal. The Rooster's calling you to try Red Rooster's new sweet and sour crunch fried chicken today. $100 to spend there. I love the term super dack.
Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
And my top three today is based around last weekend's Vegas NRL season opener. What did you think of it? Because, I mean, we were a bit critical of it, but once I saw it, I was really into it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. Just even the lead up to it, I thought it was a fantastic coverage. And I'm pretty excited for it again next year.
Yeah, look, jury's out. Jury's going to be out until they've done it for a year or two. And, you know, it did well. It was a good match. The players largely behaved themselves, although I did tip an incident. It did occur.
You tipped an incident off field, but on field an incident.
No, I did not specify.
You didn't specify. We'll go back and check the tape.
Listen, Richard's always right. Don't you know that by now?
Well, hey, I reckon you can. There's always room for improvement, right? So my top three today.
Yeah.
Improvements for Vegas next week.
Well, they're going to get more TV viewers. That's their
this is not your segment.
No, no.
This
how many did they get though?
Less than 100,000
in the US.
In the US, yeah.
Okay.
It'll grow.
Yeah, that'd be the main thing. Got to get the TV audience
more viewers. That's a good one, actually. These are my ones. They need to change the name over there to Major League Rugby. That's how they were selling it, and I think they need to stick with it.
Gee, that's going to cause drama.
Major League Rugby?
Yeah.
Rugby are not going to cop that. They're not going to cop that.
Major League Rugby, easy.
No, they're not going to cop
that. No, because everyone will just say rugby.
Rugby's going to then take them to task, say, you can't call it that.
Or it should just be called league.
But that word doesn't exist to them, so they've got Major League Baseball.
Why not just go with the acronym, NRL?
Well, why don't go with the acronym MLR? What about that?
Because
it's not rugby
in it.
We've got to avoid that.
But just use the acronym, and then they know what it means.
No, it's a bad
shock,
idea.
You've had a shocker, Brendo. Yeah.
That's one.
That's not a good one.
Two, put the opposing teams in different hotels.
That is a good idea.
Mate, there are 150,000 hotel rooms in Vegas, and they've got Cotoni Staggs rooming Spencer Lanier.
They might have been method in their madness there. They want to keep an eye on all of them at once.
Unbelievable. Yeah, but it nearly kicked off at the hotel after, that incident with Spencer Lanier. Different hotels, please. There are plenty of them over there. Three, more star power.
What do you mean?
Oh, there was no celebrities there. I saw Tim Zoo. I saw Human Nature. And that's where it ended.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it would have been great if the NRL just paid someone like a Tom Brady or paid Travis Kelce,
right.
We know who was there, just to show up. Even if you don't want to watch the two games, just show up.
Well, Hugh Jackman was meant to be there. He had to pull out, unfortunately. Russell Crowe didn't turn up. I mean,
I think he was busy. I think they knew.
He was filming, but
there's plenty of Aussie. Margot Robbie.
Where was Margot Robbie? Where was Chris Hemsworth? Where was Eric Banner? Where was Jason Donovan? So on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Baz Luhrmann.
Kylie.
Baz Luhrmann. Kylie. Come on. More star power.
I agree with that.
Two out of three ain't bad.
And do you know what would have been good? Maybe make a concert of it so that American viewers tune in for the concert rather than the game, and then they just so happen to watch the game afterwards.
Well, that didn't kind of work because the numbers were actually, the TV numbers were actually higher for the first game, and then the second game came on and they largely turned off.
In between the two games, they put a big name concert on.
Maybe.
I think that's the headline. I will get rid of name change. We'll put in find a way to get more viewers.
That'll do it. That's a catch all.
We've got a year to think about it.
Set and match. And time permitting, many other sporting cliches. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
The AFL season is underway, currently in the full throes of opening round, which is somehow not round one. I don't quite understand it. Hopefully former Swan and the Rush Hour's Jude Bolton can enlighten us. Good morning, Jude.
Brendo, Richard, Candice, how are we?
Good.
Good.
Have they bungled it?
No, I've got an explanation for this.
Oh, do you?
Yes. This is just about having another round of footy without anyone being able to say, the season's too long.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to say round 25, round 26 at the end of the year. But it makes no sense. But I tell you what, it's been a bit of a success because there's been sold out grounds, SCG on Thursday, the Gabba last night, and Giant Stadium this afternoon.
Jude, talking about Thursday night, it was so spectacular. Like you said, 40,000 people there. The Swans won. Brody Grundy playing against his former team was outstanding.
He was, Candice. I think I didn't see it in him in the sense that he has that sort of anger to really take it against his old side. He's quite a different character. He's a unique individual, but I love the way he drove a knee into the back of Max Gorn, his old teammate at one stage, and he just set the tone in the second half, and the Swans were able to run over the top of them.
Do you think Melbourne's nightmare off-season has played a toll on them?
Yes and no. Like, I think sometimes it does galvanise you in the sense that you just get a chance to focus on the footy, but it has. It's been a really disruptive off-season for them. So many different things that have played on, both from culture-wise and the like. And, you know, that they've got a good enough list, but at the moment they've just got to reset and get the season going.
Candice's cousin, Chad, Warner, has he gone to another level? I just watched that match and thought, man, he's just picked up where he left off and may have gone forward from there.
Yeah, I think so. He's such a talented young midfielder, and I think he burst on the scene 2 years ago and had an incredible season. And last year, probably a little bit of a plateau, but that's to be expected. He's just a young star, and I think he's set for a massive season.
A milestone year for the Swans as well, it being its 150th year of existence. You've had a bit of time to sort of reflect on that. There was a big celebrations, of course, at the Demons game, or against the Demons. What's it like to sit back and sort of reflect on your time with the Swans and its rich history?
Yeah, been lucky enough to be involved back probably since 1998 and when I got drafted to the Swans, and just to have, I guess, the interaction with the past players over that journey. I mean, the likes of, say, Peter Bedford, Brownlow medalist, and Graham Teasdale, and then you see the current era of players and the way the club is held now. I think it's 150 years old, the club, but at many stages it was on its knees. And, you know, they lost 26 games in a row at one stage. Mm. And there's been a lot of tough times, but the club is now really highly regarded across the sporting landscape. And there's a lot of people who've had huge contributions across the journey.
Last night's match, Brisbane versus Carlton, the semi-final rematch. Yeah. Wow, that did not disappoint.
No, it was an incredible game of footy. I mean, last year it was the preliminary final and it was Carlton who jumped out of the blocks and then the Brisbane Lions ran over the top of them. But last night, 7 goals opening quarter from the Lions. They looked irresistible and there was some challenges for Carlton. They had to throw Charlie Curnow behind the ball late in the first quarter just to, you know, stop the rot. And then when he went back forward, he really turned the tables. I thought his matchup on Jack Payne, he just took him apart, kicked 4 goals on him. And then Harry Mackay, who we know has had real challenges in front of goal. He's had, you know, he's been kicking around the corner and the like. He looked like he put a routine in place. He kicked 3 goals, including the sealer last night. And what a win. I mean, they're missing the likes of, say, Sam Walsh and Caleb Marchbank and their gun in Jacob Wiedering. So plenty to like about the Blues.
Another blockbuster, Giants at home in Sydney. Oof. To Collingwood.
What about this, Richard? It's very rare that you'd see the reigning premiers as outsiders.
Yeah.
Giants starting favourites.
Wow.
It is. I mean, the Giants look, you know, really, really solid this year, and I'm excited about where they can take this season. I mean, they fell desperately short last year to Collingwood in the preliminary final, 1 point, and they had to sit back, and it burns in your guts when you sit back and watch the team that's knocked you out go on and win the flag. But, you know, Adam Kingsley, it was a sensational first year at the helm as coach, and he really embedded down a Giants game plan that sticks up in finals, and I'm excited to see how they go tonight.
Oh, there's a big, big sound. I feel it this year could be the year. Jude Bolton, my friend, have a wonderful weekend. We'll catch you on Monday with the Rush Hour.
Have a great day.
Adjudicating another week of sport.
You are the worst umpire that I've ever seen in my life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman, Brendan Anakin. If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
St George Illawarra coach Shane Flanagan has vowed to get the best out of Zach Lomax despite the 24-year-old being frustrated with his positional switch. He was a centre. They've shifted him to the wing and he's thrown his toys out of the cot, it would seem.
Excuse me if I'm wrong here, but rugby league is a team game, not an individual game. If your coach says go somewhere, you just do it, don't you?
I don't know. I didn't hear the context of him saying that. Someone might have said to him, asked him a question, well, are you happy on the wing? He said, I prefer to be in the centres. You know, that if it's said like that, that's okay to me.
No, I don't know if it was, though.
But if it's not said like that, if it's said like, I should be in the centres, that's where I should be, that's different. But I'm always careful about the context of how
you would do anything for your team. If your coach says go to fullback, you go to fullback. You may not be, in your opinion, suited to that, but you do what's required for the team and to get that win on the weekend. That is the main priority, is to win for your team.
See, I didn't hear it. So Zach might have said, yeah, he might have said if that had gone on like that, 100%. You know, I'll play wherever they ask me to, but I'd rather play in the centres.
Reportedly, when Shane Flanagan got there, sat Zach down, showed him that statistically he wasn't one of the strongest centres in the comp. Like, he was sitting,
oh, that's got to hurt,
23rd, 24th out of 36 centres. So maybe a shift to the wing is best, and stats don't lie, as you know. I just think it's incredibly petulant, if this is the case and he's throwing his toys out of the cot, that your team is wooden spoon favourites.
Well, I hope he's not. I hope he comes out and says, look, it was blown out of proportion. Yes, I like playing in the centres, but I'm happy to play wherever. It's all over.
Have to focus on being a team, the Dragons, instead of individual performance at the moment. Mike Tyson is heading back in the ring. This is fraught with disaster. Social media star turned boxer Jake Paul will fight former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson on July 20 in Texas as part of a Netflix live event. It's a gross money grab. It's disgusting.
Well, who's it going to be a disaster for, in your opinion?
For Iron Mike, I believe.
No way. Nah. Mike Tyson is one of the baddest men on the planet.
He's 50
odd. His career record, I don't care, is 56-6, 44 by way of knockout.
Yeah. The man's 57.
I don't care. If you go to YouTube and look at him and see him sparring recently, he is still so powerful.
Against a bag. He's going up against like a 20-year-old.
He's going to cheat. He's going to treat this 20-year-old like a bag.
Unbelievable.
Though men in their late middle age, let's be kind, are notorious for overestimating their physical prowess.
So as a human, he's not overly old, but as a boxer, he is geriatric, man.
Yeah, well,
I don't care.
He's only got to land one.
Yeah, that's true.
His power will just destroy him.
Yeah, but speed and reaction time, that's going to let him down.
No. Who do you hope wins?
Tyson.
If Tyson wins, I reckon Jake Paul's thrown it.
You don't like Jake Paul, do you?
I don't like either of them, but I reckon he's thrown it if
Oh,
Tyson
now
wins.
You're
no
accusing
way.
People of,
no way.
Of skullduggery.
Nuh-uh. Sorry.
Come on, Brendo.
I don't know. Gone hard today.
The views of the host here are not necessarily those of this station.
Actually, I don't want Netflix suing me, you know. Come on, Brendan, you're better than that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
If it's happening in sport, you'll hear about it here.
The greatest happening in sport.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
And the Sydney Swans have had the perfect start to their season, a 22-point win over the Demons at the SCG on Thursday night. This man had a hell of a game. Swans defender Ollie Florent. Good morning. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Ollie, congratulations. You kicked the first goal of the season. That's a big thing. Only one person can do that.
Yeah. No, I was trying to actually do that in my head when I got it. I knew I just had to sort of just throw it on the boot and, gladly it went in.
Were you confident that, like, snapping him from 50, that's a huge effort, brother?
Yeah, well, though, he was pressing my right foot and I knew I was probably close enough to in range and I knew the goal scorer was open, so I just thought, you know, might as well.
Why not?
Ollie, talk to us about the conditions on Thursday night because it was an incredibly humid night in Sydney.
Yeah, so that sort of we took that into account. For the first quarter, we probably didn't adjust the conditions as we would have liked to. It was pretty dry, and then sort of once the wind stopped, the humidity just really rose and became a really slippery game. And then I guess from there, like, our tactics were to be a bit more direct to goal and set up the ground, which allowed us to, build the pressure in the forward line. And it definitely sort of changed a bit, and it was play with some soap. So it was very slippery.
It's a milestone year for the club as well, 150th year, which is just insane. What's it been like to be a part of a club with such a rich history?
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be here. I've been a Swan for my whole career, and just to sort of see the development from that as a club just in general, but as well as New South Wales has grown so much, and the support and the we've got from our past players who were there from the weekend. We obviously did the walk from the RHI to the ground, and the amount of supporters that were there was very overwhelming, and to know that they've got our backs when we run out there is super special.
Now, listen, I don't want to knock opening round, but NRL, they went over to Vegas. That looked like a lot of fun. Would you be open to something similar, maybe the AFL going abroad? Is that something you'd like on the table?
Yeah, I wouldn't, it'd be pretty cool to, expand our game over into America, but I think it could be a great idea, but obviously, a lot of water has to go under the bridge, and who knows.
Talk to us about Brody Grundy. Had an incredible game against his former team, but there was slight concern that maybe he wouldn't play, or that because he got a jellyfish bite on his ear that looked pretty painful, actually.
Yeah, I think that was probably the least of his worries. He's a big, tough man, so I'm not sure a jelly, whatever it was, a blue bottle would stop him.
Listen, blue bottles are pretty painful. I don't know if you've ever had one, but the pain then goes to your groin or your, under I'm your arms where the glands are. Stay away from them.
Yeah.
There you go. You've been warned, brother. You had a wonderful game the other day. The Swans shaping up for a terrific season. All the best to you, Ollie Florent, and thank you for making the time this morning.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is, that's out.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Friedman Anakin.
Yes. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Richard's List of Grievances.
Stupid, moronic conspiracy theorists.
Oh, amen.
They just do my head in. You know, their conspiracy theory that the government was trying to kill everybody with the COVID vaccine and, you know, all this sort of garbage they go on with. But the really annoying part is when you confront them and say, that's what you think. Yeah. You got any proof of that?
Oh.
There's proof everywhere.
Yeah. Right? If you look hard enough.
If you look hard enough, you know where you're looking. There's proof everywhere. Like where? Name one. Name something, right? Mm. It's what I believe. That's their go-to line. It's what I believe. I have no proof of anything. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's what. No,
yeah, but why can't?
That's what I believe.
Why can't other people have an opinion other than yours?
It's not an opinion.
You think that your opinion is the only opinion?
Because
there is other opinions out there.
You must be one of them.
Well, I can be at times.
You must be one of them.
But it's not a conspiracy because it's what I believe.
Right? Because it's what you believe. That's what they do. Right? Exactly that. And you know what? When you ask him, say, "Look, just come up with some piece of proof."
Yeah, some shred of evidence.
You'll see.
Oh, it'll all come out.
The ultimate, you'll see. It's all coming in the future.
It might not be now.
They might as well have stupid tattooed on
their
forehead.
You're so fired up that I reckon this week something's happened to you, Richard. Someone's proved you wrong and you don't like it.
What happened to me happened many, many, many years ago.
And it can't be undone.
Correct.
And he is the way he is.
And you can't let go of it.
I cannot.
We have to
and
deal.
And I will not.
We have to deal with how he is.
Because that's what I believe.
Believe you.
You'll see.